Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I want to say something about the ministry, the people who've been speaking into our church. The last several weeks, the Lord has really inspired people from around the congregation to stand up and speak and encourage us. Jonathan Witkus spoke a couple of weeks ago. It was just amazing to me. Jonathan, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, because I feel like the Lord, I don't know, there's some kind of freedom. There's a sense of freedom and wonder. Charles Jett spoke in my absence. Last week I was asked to speak at the church called Lighthouse in Rosemount. I very rarely go away on a Sunday, especially in town, to preach. But last Sunday I was away, and the service here was just marvelous. Luke Lavelle, Charles, I just want to tell you, and I want to tell you how glad I am to be back today. How wonderful it is. How wonderful to be with Nate. I'm thankful, very thankful. This is going to be different, I guess. I think we do a lot of different things at our church. And if you've been here any length of time, you know that now would be a time that I would step and step up here to preach, to read the word of the Lord to you. And several of you have guests. We have a number of people here for the very first time this morning, and this will maybe be a little different for you also. Would you make our guests welcome? Just tell everybody thanks. We're glad you're here. It's great. So today, I intend to say very little, but ask. I'm going to ask you questions. Are you ready for an exam? And to start out and make this very clear, the answer to every question is yes. The answer to every question is going to be yes. So there's no confusion. I would like you to nod your head and say yes. Were you nervous about that? Were you confused at all? Did you wonder? I would like everyone to just nod your head and say yes. The answer to every question is yes. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Yes. Wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I intend to have fun this morning, because I intend for you to preach. I will ask questions and you will say yes. Do you have a preaching finger? You ladies got one. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. Get your preaching finger out. Come on, shake it at me. Say yes. Come on, gentlemen. Yes, everybody together say yes. Yes. I'm going to read a most powerful verse to you. I'm going to read something to you, and it might be the first time you've ever considered it, but from the word of the Lord, it reads 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. Did you know that was in there? No. Okay. In him it has always been yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
For no matter how many promises God has made, no matter how many, they are yes. Yes in Christ, and through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. That is powerful. It is not yes and no. It is always yes. That's a great verse. Yeah, it'll be okay too. God has already said yes. Think about that. God has already said yes. Yes. Yes, the promises of God are yes. Always yes. That blows my mind. I keep my wallet and my glasses and things in my bedroom, and I'm raising 8 grandkids, and they always want some money. Ray and Kathy are here in the front row. They're always finagling, trying to figure out a way to make money. Papa, what can I do? I want to buy a game. I want to buy a game system, something. So, always. It's always. But they're working for it. I like that. You know, got to clean the yard, got to do the floor, sweep the floor, something to make some money. Well, my children weren't always that way. My children thought that because they were heirs, that the answer just ought to be yes. So I had to keep my wallet away from my girls, Terry and Tiffany and Brittany and Ashley. But when Michael came along, there was a different feeling, and because his name is the same as mine, Michael Paul Friend, there were times when I could just say, my wallet's in the room, son. One time he said, Dad, I need 20 bucks. I said, well, my wallet's in the room. And he went out the door, right on out to the car. I said, whoa, hey, my wallet's, he said, I already got the 20. I already got the 20, Dad. I knew you were going to say yes. And I'm telling you, my heart leaped inside me. I thought, he knows. I want to know that about my Father. I got the 20, Dad, because I knew you'd say yes. I knew you'd say yes. You are not God's second choice. Let's get an agreement with God. So today I'm not going to preach a sermon. I'm going to ask you some questions. Let's start with the most popular verse in the Bible. John 3:16, is that all right? All right. Yes? Yes? John 3:16, let's put it up here. For God, let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have... I want to ask you some questions now. That's a verse. Leave it up there for just a moment, please. We'll go to 17 in a second. Question number one to the church. Does God love the world?
Yes.
Does he love the whole world?
Yes.
The whole wide world?
Yes.
Does he love everybody in the world?
Yes.
The whole wide world?
Yes.
Does God love you?
Yes.
And does God love me?
Yes.
Verse 17. God did not send his Son into the world, let's read it, to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Is God a giver?
Yes.
Did God give? Did God send?
Yes.
Can anybody, no matter what they've ever done, no matter who they are, believe in Jesus and have eternal life?
Yes.
Eternal life.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes.
Does whoever mean you and me?
Yes.
Good. You're doing very well. Was there a reason that God sent his Son?
Yes.
Did he have a reason?
Yes.
Was it to save the world?
Yes.
Did God send his Son to save the world?
Yes.
Can God do anything he wants?
Yes.
Can he pull that off?
Yes.
Is the Son going to save the world?
Yes.
Are you the world?
Yes.
Am I part of the world?
Yes.
The whole world?
Yes.
Is God big enough to do that?
Yes.
Is he allowed to do that?
Yes.
No matter what any preacher says, God's allowed to do that if he wants. He can save the whole wide world if that's what he wants to do. Yes. Could God have condemned the world?
Yes.
He could have condemned the world. Did he choose to save us instead of condemn us?
Yes.
Yes! Do you have a Bible? I don't know if I gave them. Did I give you John 1:29 back there, you guys? John 1:29. Oh, this is making me just a little bit crazy. John 1:29, I don't know if we got it, if we didn't. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. And he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is Jesus the Lamb of God?
Yes.
Did he take away the sin of the world? Is there lots of confusion about this in the church?
Yes.
Aren't you thankful today that the answer is yes?
Yes.
He sent his son into the world to save the world.
Yes.
Oh my God. You guys are doing good. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. We're talking about love right now. How many of you think that love is important and you feel like it might be one of the big deals in the church today? How many of you just feel that way? Is this all right if I just ask you some questions about love? Did he love the world?
Yes.
He loved the world. He loves everybody. Does he love everybody?
Yes.
Have you ever been confused about that? Are we wiping out the confusion today?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now you know there are faith preachers, people that preach about faith. I'm a faith preacher. Preacher, I'm a faith man. Is faith important?
Yes.
Is hope important?
Yes.
I said hope this morning. I prayed hope on people today.
Yes.
Is love greater than faith or hope?
Yes.
Just leave that verse up there. I just want to ask you, is love greater than faith?
Yes.
So if you run out of faith, but you can hang on to love, you'll be all right because love's greater than faith. My God, you guys, do you understand? I really need hope, but if I can believe in the love of God, his love is greater than my hope. Woo! Jesus, more questions. That's just how big is this? Let's just go to John, 1 John chapter 4. I'm just asking what you believe. I'm just asking. You read it. You're looking at your Bible. You're looking at these scriptures. And you have been answering correctly. 1 John chapter 4. We'll just do this systematically, one verse at a time, if you don't mind. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Boy, here's a big one. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Did I read that correctly?
Yes.
Would you like to look at it for just another moment?
Yes.
Does this challenge Christianity?
Yes.
Does it say love comes from God?
Yes.
Does love originate with God?
Yes.
Ready? Take a deep breath and get ready to shout yes. Is everyone who loves a child of God?
Yes.
It's what it says. Everyone who loves is born of God. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What are we going to do with all our rules now? What you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Everybody that loves is born of God? Yes. If they don't know your rules, if they don't know the name of your denomination, if they don't come from your background, if they're not your color, you mean if they love? If they love? Does the church need to love more?
Yes.
Verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God. Whoo, Jesus. Because God is love. Is love greater than faith? Is love greater than hope?
Yes.
Is love the greatest thing?
Yes.
Is God love?
Yes.
Do we need to love more?
Yes.
Do we need to figure this out?
Yes.
Do we need to change our minds?
Yes.
Do we need to put love first?
Yes.
Do we need to love everybody?
Yes.
And if we love, does that mean we're born of God?
Yes.
Thanks, Jane. Pretty simple. Here it is. God is... We're not done. We're not done. How about verse 9? How about verse 9, Sister Jane? This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one, and I think we just read this somewhere, only son into the world that we might live through him. How about that? He's not here to kill people. He's not condemning anybody. He's not putting anybody down. It doesn't matter how bad they are. He sent his son into the world so we could live. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent, well, here we go again. Sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Is there a proper sacrifice for our sins? Is that sacrifice an atoning sacrifice? Does it make all of us right with God because of the sacrifice? Did it come because of love? Does God love you? Did he sacrifice his son for you? Have you been made one with God because of that? Then today we ought to shout yes, because God is love and he loves us. Yes. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Does that make sense to you now? No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. And his love is made complete in us. If you love, will people see God in you?
Yes.
Well, it says no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father, here we are again, the Father sent his son to be the savior of the world. Is that all inclusive? Is there anybody not living on the world yet? You may not believe what I'm saying, but this is a good argument, isn't it? Oh, that was weaker. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. I don't have a whole lot of questions right here, but I just want to ask you this. Can you rely on the love of God?
Yes.
Can you rely on it? Can you lean on it? Can you sleep on it? Can you rest on it? Can you plant your feet on it? Is he for sure? Can you rely on the love of God? Has he proven to you by your own failure that he will not stop loving you until now you say, I don't rely on me and I can't rely on anybody else, but I can rely on the love of God? That should be a resounding yes. Can you rely on the love of God? If you're talking to somebody that doesn't know him, can you rely on the fact that he loves them and he's going to work with them? If you know somebody that's in trouble, can you tell them God will get you out because you can rely on the love of God? You may not know how, you may not know when, but you know God's going to do it because he loves everybody. Woo. No, you preach. This good, you're preaching good today. How am I doing? Here we go. 16, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, Sister Jane, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we're like him. Yes. How novel. What an idea that Christians would be like Christ. Isn't that a good idea?
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to try that?
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to lay down all the division and all the separation and all the denomination and all of the judgmentalism and all the madness that has filled the church and say, I want to be like Jesus. And when I am, I'm going to love everybody all the time. You can rely on that. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm not done. There is no fear in love. My feet don't feel the weight of my body right now. There is no fear. There is no fear. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Oh, mighty God. There went all the end time books. There went all the end time ministries scaring everybody to death. There flies hope to New Orleans and to San Francisco and to New York City. You can preach fear, or you can tell them God loves them. And love will drive out fear. I wish I had a microphone, and I wish I was preaching to everybody in America this morning. I wish I was preaching to every church in America. Because love will drive out fear. There is no fear in love. Did it say that?
Yes.
Thanks. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So if you're afraid, you need more love. You don't need more teaching. You don't need more of me. You need to be bathed in the love of God. As long as there's fear, the church needs to preach love. Because if you believe he loves you, you don't ever have to be afraid again. Ever. You don't have to be afraid for you. You don't have to be afraid of driving. You don't have to be afraid of flying. You don't have to be afraid for your children. You don't have to be afraid of schools. You don't have to be afraid of the government. You don't have to be afraid whether it's Republicans or Democrats next. You don't have to be afraid of Hillary Clinton. You don't have to be afraid of Jeb Bush. You don't have to be afraid of the money. You don't have to be afraid of 666. You don't have to be afraid of the Antichrist. You don't have to be afraid of cancer or heart disease. You don't have to be afraid of a nervous breakdown. You don't have to be afraid of the church. You don't have to be afraid of being put down. You don't have to be afraid of condemnation. You don't have to be afraid of shame. You don't have to be afraid. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. Love will take care of all your fear. We love because he first loved us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Does anybody have a watch on? Nobody in the house has got a watch on. My God, if I've got an hour and a half. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 8. Above all. How about we try that one more time? Above all. Love each other. Above everything. Straighten each other out. Argue with each other. Try to make me right. Make me wrong. Sing good, attend always, be faithful, be consistent. Above all, I don't know one person that was ever anointed to be the church watchdog. I know a bunch of self-appointed ones. Criticize everybody. Criticize everything. But above all, what's it say? Above all, love each other deeply. Because, oh my goodness, this is going to wreck you. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Look here, I've got to give this to you. You've got to get this. Let me, before I say this, somewhere back at the end of last year, somewhere in November, something happened to me in prayer one morning, very distinctly. Have you ever had the Spirit of the Lord touch you or do something to you that you can look back and it's a milestone? You say, something happened to me at that service, or something happened to me in that day. I read that verse, or the Lord touched me. Something happened to me on that morning. I saw, as it were, not actually, not physically, but it looked like my hand was in the air in front of me from about here up. And it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, you have been like the wrist. You have been like the provision. It's like the word of the Lord has come through you to the church. But that is no longer going to be. Now I'm going to use several people. I relieve you of that primary responsibility. And suddenly something lifted off of me. Whew. So there will be preachers and people talking and teachers. And Dave McKnight is here. See you, Dave. Will be helping us on Wednesday nights talking about finding who we are and identifying ourselves and becoming strong in our knowledge of who we are in God. Something happened to me, and that lifted off of me some responsibility. Something happened to me physically and spiritually, you guys. And I have a wicked freedom. I have a wild freedom on me. I have an indescribable sense of happiness. Fearlessness. Tell you the truth come what may. Read it to you and you say yes about it. Yes. Not arguing with you anymore. I'm right. Yes. I'm right. Yes. And this is going to be one of the big ones. Come out right now. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now that may bug you, but I'm going to tell you, God does not ignore sin. He doesn't compromise with sin. He covers it. May make you mad. You want somebody to be punished? Don't pray for justice. Pray for mercy. Because we need mercy. Listen to me. Get this. This is huge. He deals with it. People talk about sin as if God has something else to do with it. If you are a sinner, if you have failed, if you've been making mistakes, if you are constant and if you are faithful to your madness, if you are addicted and you have a multitude. So I look at multitude. And in the King James Version, 5,000 people ate from just a few fish and a few pieces of bread. And it was called a multitude in Matthew chapter number 14. So a multitude is at least 5,000. And in Matthew chapter 15, he fed 4,000 different people with other fish and bread. 9,000. Listen, I've got 4 or 5 hang-ups. I got some stuff I'm working on. I got stuff that have been on me since I was a kid. I wrestle with it. But not 5,000 of them. Come on. Come on. Come on, some of you alcoholics, you drug addicts, some of you. You got a few, but you ain't got 4,000. And a multitude is thousands. The other word would be a press, when they pressed on him. It's a large number. I got mine, and you got yours, and I'm not going to talk about either one of them. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
I said, is that all right with you?
Yes.
But the wonder is that that verse says that on purpose, he doesn't ignore it. He's not just compromising with it. He does something with your sin. He covers it. He covers it. He covers you. He doesn't uncover you. He doesn't expose you. God is not into condemnation. Yes? God is not into shame. God covers us. What a wonder. What a wonder. That he could have disclosed, he could have uncovered, he could have, with one button pushed, and the computer would have spit out all your emails. Watch the news. Genesis chapter 3. I'm having more fun. Oh my goodness. This is so great.
Yes, it is.
Love covers a multitude. The great wise Solomon said, love covers wrongs. Somebody say love.
Love.
Genesis 3:21. The Lord God. I love it when it says Lord God. That's like an exclamation point, just so you know, when the two of them are put together. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. They ate from the tree. They saw that they were naked. They were ashamed. They hid from God. They hid from God. Come on. Nice try. It says that they sewed fig leaves together. Can you imagine? Have you ever raked leaves? Just exactly how long is a leaf dress going to last, Eve? My son for Christmas bought me these t-shirts. They've been advertised on television and the radio. I heard about them. They're made of this material, stretches 6 ways. A t-shirt's like $40. for a t-shirt. It's supposed to never yellow, always fit, never go up and down, never rumble up your bee, you know, all the good stuff. All the men in the house that ever had an ill-fitting pair of underwear say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody designed it, and it's supposed to be like 100 times better. Okay, so he bought it for me. Two of them. So I now have two of the most expensive undershirts in the world. They're supposed to last. But I just want to ask you something. If you make them out of leaves, what do you get? 3 days? 4? 5 tops if you get them when they're still good and green. But I'm going to tell you, Adam and Eve made a shot at try. They tried to cover up, but I'm just telling you, like 6 days in, one puff of wind, naked. Nice try, but you're back where you started, boys and girls. Every man-made attempt, every time you've tried to cover up, it don't last. It looks so silly to the rest of us. Your self-righteousness is absurd because we know. And so who covered them? Who covered them? Did God find them? Who went looking for who? We keep talking about people finding God. You don't find God. God found you. You got to get me. You got to get. Love will find you. Love will come and find you. Hey, Mel, wave your hand at me, Mel. In fact, I love you, Mel. Come on. Love will find you, Mel. It's a weird journey, isn't it? How God came to find you and gets all excited, and Brent comes and finds Mel, and Mel goes, oh, this was a God thing. Who's looking for who? God went looking for him. Who called, where are you? It wasn't Adam. It was God. God was calling, where are you? Why? Because love covers you. Love will find you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Did God make the garments? Did God cover them? I'm looking for a clock. I'm fixing to go. I'll finish. Okay, here we go. Finally, this is my first finally. Good. Right, like you get 3 or 4, don't you? 1 Corinthians 13, 8a. Just the first part of 13. The answer is yes. So far, other than one person in the back who was being funny, you are passing your exam. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. Thank you for that verse. Thank you. Can you put a yes up on that screen for me? I say yes. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is God's choice for dealing with wrong. Let that dawn on you. You've got to get that. I am not compromising. I'm telling you, God chose love to be what he would do about failure. That's what God decided to do with mistakes. He'd cover you. Is that good or not? Is that good? Is that good? Or is that too big for you? I didn't write that. This is not my book. I got this. They bought me this. Somebody gave me this. I'm just telling you that God Almighty chose to love. Now, the church has often used condemnation and instructions and often, there's a lot of other things, a lot of things that have come out of the church. But God decided that he would use love. I think God's smarter than we are. Do you? Do you like his methods when it comes to you? Are you glad he loves you? Are you glad he's covered you? Don't you think he would cover everybody? If he covered you, can he cover anybody? If he can forgive you and the stuff you've done, can he forgive anybody?
Yes.
Yeah, if he can cover your mistakes and your failures and your sins, and he chose to do it with love, then there should be no argument in the church as to what other utensils we might use in this kitchen. And I will finish. Is he love? That's my second one. I got one more after this. You know what, Nate, we might want to do, isn't he beautiful? At least maybe play just a little bit of that again. Is he full of grace?
Yes.
Is he truth?
Yes.
Is he holy?
Yes.
Is he good?
Yes.
Stand up. Is he a healer?
Yes.
Is he a deliverer? Come on now. Is he a deliverer?
Yes.
Is he a prayer answering God?
Yes.
Is he a provider?
Yes.
Is he a forgiver?
Yes.
Is he a rock?
Yes.
Is he your sword?
Yes.
Is he your shield?
Yes.
Is he your water when you're thirsty?
Yes.
Is he your bread when you're hungry?
Yes.
Is he your breath? Now, I've been doing this for an hour and 45 minutes. You could do this for another 60 seconds. Help me. Take a deep breath and just say, yes, I'll fill in the blanks. Is he your breath?
Yes.
Is he your life?
Yes.
Is he your rest?
Yes.
Is he the Lamb of God?
Yes.
Is he the Lion of Judah?
Yes.
Is he the promise?
Yes.
Is he the ram on the mountain?
Yes.
Is he the blood on the doorpost?
Yes.
Is he the sacrifice on the altar?
Yes.
Is he the fire?
Yes.
Is he the glory of God?
Yes.
Is he the stone that's hewn out of the mountain?
Yes.
Is he the king?
Yes.
Is he the resurrector of the dead?
Yes.
Is he your God?
Yes.
And do you believe in him today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's beautiful. 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 Okay. Several weeks ago, the Spirit of the Lord came in this room, and it felt like there was a major sense of yes from God. It was like God was going to say yes to us. Some of you might have been here. It was a marvelous feeling, like anything we asked. And then a week or two after that, we got to singing and saying yes to the Lord. It was like the whole church was in a surrender mode, where we were just saying yes. Nate said probably the most proper word of worship is the word yes. I mean, I heard it was hallelujah, which means, you know, 1,000 praises to God. But when you say yes to God, what you're saying is, I surrender, I worship. And today, I don't know, I went home last Sunday from church, driving home, and it was like the Lord said, don't tell them, ask them. And I said, okay, I'll ask them. And I want to tell you that I have, this may sound really weird to you, I have 27 more messages that I wrote in the last 6 days. 27 verses with them. More than I'll ever preach in this lifetime. I hardly got up today. If it hadn't been for Luann texting me about verses, I'd be at home right now writing all these yes ones. Yes, 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 yes. I looked up, didn't know what time it was. Had sat so long, my joints were getting sore. Had bent over and had to run to the bedroom to get dressed to come to church today because I was so wild. Wild with who he is and what it means to me and how I feel like we're pushing against darkness. We're swimming upstream. We're going to change the way the church views God. We're going to change the way we look at God. And when we do, the world's going to see the church in a different light. We're going to be different. The world is going to see the church differently when we love like he loves.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.